thank you for joining us today for another Timeless broadcast. We are grateful for your prayers and financial support to spread the glorious gospel around the world. Today, my dad's sermon titled, The Work of the Holy Spirit, reveals four facts about the Comforter sent to help God's people in the world today.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and you know, I always just rejoice that you're opening the doors and letting us come in. And I know some of you are shut-ins, kind of your health is bad, you don't get around. And so there you are, and you're waiting for us, and we're waiting for you, and we worship the Lord together. So we're just so glad we could be with you. And today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the work the Holy Spirit does today. But before that, let me read some of the letters, just a few of the letters. They are so interesting, and I want to share them with you. And the first one comes from Kansas City, Kansas, and they write, I enjoy your TV ministry very much, but will you personally pray for me that God will send his anointing upon me? I never feel the presence of God in my life, and I don't think that I'm saved. I've prayed, I've cried, I've repented, so I don't know anything else I can do. Will you pray a special prayer for me? I do have faith in the Lord, and I love him. Please answer me, and God bless you. Well, God bless you too, dear friend. And you're in the same boat that a lot of people are in. I know I was in that when I was a young man. I accepted the Lord when I was 10. And then a little bit later, I got to thinking, oh, did I pray the right prayer? And did I have enough faith? And I don't feel anything. Well, listen to what Jesus says in John 3:36. He says that he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He says, he that believeth in me, he doesn't say, he that feeleth me, he that hath emotions, he that is all shook up. He says, just believe. And some people, when they believe, they rejoice and they have feelings, and some of them don't. I never did when I accepted Jesus. 10 years old, I just accepted him. I put my faith in Jesus, and he saved me. And I've been saved 87 years. And who knows how long? I've been saved forever, isn't it? So don't look for feelings. Just trust Jesus. Believe God and go from there. Here is New York City. I'm watching from Bronx, New York for the past 3 to 5 years. Your teaching service has been a blessing and a ministry to my spirit. Pastor is like a spiritual grandfather to me. Your prayers are very helpful. Keep us in your prayer here in New York City. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we do keep them in mind. And another way we bless these people is not just preaching the Word of God, but we have a little Bible study called The New Song. And every month it's a different study. And this month it's the perfections of Jesus, the perfections of Christ, the perfect Christ. And he's our model. And we send it free and postpaid. And you get your pencil and paper because at the end of the service, I'll tell you how you can order it. And we have a lot of people in this will watch it and get the study and are helped. Here is Grimms, Iowa. I'm so excited to receive the DVD. You all mean so much, and I pray for you all as well as your pastors and your staffs worldwide. Watching and listening to you has changed my life. I was brought up attending church, but did not know that what accepting Jesus into your heart or being born again really meant. I'm grateful for your service to our Lord. And I tell you, there's a multitude of people that don't know about accepting Jesus. But Jesus says, he that receiveth me, if you believe in me, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You have to receive Jesus. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, you do that by just opening your heart, just telling Jesus to come into your heart, inviting him in, and then just tell him you'll turn from your sins and you follow him best you can. And he'll save your dear, precious soul. And I'll tell you one, we have what we call, and we have a film put out, The Heart of a Shepherd. It's an hour long, and it helps people accept Jesus. It spells out accepting Jesus, and it's in such a way that even the children can understand. And so you write to us. We're sending it on a free will offering basis. It's an hour long. And you just put heart of a shepherd, or put shepherd, and we'll know what you meant. One more letter before the sermon, and that is says of Grafton, West Virginia. And they say, saw your program, and my Holy Spirit said, send you a gift. Well, that's the way we make our way. We get through because God is helping us. And when God's Spirit talks to people, and our only source of income is God's people. And then one thing about our organization is, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. They audit our books and check everything. Everything's above board. So get your pencil and paper. We'll talk about that, but let's look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work today. And when Jesus was here, he's going to go into the world. He's going to leave this world. He'd gone to the cross. He'd been died for us off our sins. He'd been buried. He was raised again. And he's going to ascend into heaven. And the disciples say, oh, what are we going to do? And Jesus says, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And so that's exactly what he did. He called him the Comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit. Now remember, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work today in the world, in the church, and in the believer. And God, as God, the Holy Spirit has been, always been as long as the Holy Trinity. And that's forever. Never was a beginning, never will be an ending. You say you don't understand that. Well, you don't understand God. You can't comprehend God. A worm can't comprehend a human being. And that's all we are. We can't comprehend God. Maybe someday we will, but we'll at least see him face to face. And so the Holy Spirit was with us at creation, had a part in creation. He's active throughout the Old Testament. He's active during the coming of the Lord. He's acting during our Lord's ministry. He's here when we're in the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And then his great ministry began on the day of Pentecost, when he descended among the people and the thousands were saved, and he began his wonderful work in a special way. There were some very special, significant words of our Lord, as recorded in John 16 and verse 7, where Jesus told his disciples he was going to leave them. And so then they're so heartbroken and all, and this is what Jesus says in John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Here Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, to comfort God's people, strengthen and help God's people. The Lord Jesus is going to send that Holy Spirit the minute he gets to heaven. And this wonderful Comforter then is going to come and work among the church and among God's people and also against sinners, where they work with the sinners. Because let's just look at, friends, four things that the Holy Spirit is going to do. He is going to magnify Christ. And so Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he tells us in John 16, verse 13 and 14, nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Then this is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Then he shall speak not of himself. And so we don't have put a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit and pray to the Holy Spirit and sing to the Holy Spirit and exalt the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes to point his finger at Jesus and exalt Jesus. And so let's look at the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit as he exalts Jesus and promotes him. And then the second thing, the Holy Spirit will convict sinners. Here again is another work of the Holy Spirit, and it is to convict the unrighteous of their sins. This is what Jesus tells us in John 16, chapter 16, verses 8 to 11. Jesus said, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on him. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The International Version of the Bible translates the word reprove as convict. When he shall come, he will convict the world of guilt, of sin, and righteousness, and judgment. And so just look at that. He will convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit has come to use the word of God, and it is preached and witnessed to convict people of their sins and their shortcomings so they will turn to God. And that's why we always preach the word of God, is because that's where the power is. And the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and he applies it to hearts and people, and so that they see that they are a sinner and they're lost in their sins and they need to come to Jesus, and they turn their hearts to Jesus. And so this sin, when he talks about sin, he talks about sin of intemperance and hatred and covetousness and envy and malice and taking the name of the Lord in vain. But the real thing is, he says, I'll convict them of sin. He doesn't say sins. All these sins are stacked against us. But the one great sin he talks about, he tells us what that one great sin is. It's in verse 9, John 16, verse 9. He says, of sin, because they believe not on me. That's the one great sin that's going to put people's soul in hell, is because they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. If you don't have a life, the wrath of God abideth on him. You must be born again. You must have Jesus Christ. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus tells us, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why is he condemned? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3, verse 18. Friend, listen to me. In that day of judgment, you're going to have to hear God say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have any hope of eternity. It all depends. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus. I love the church, and I spend my whole life in the church. But the only way to heaven is a person. Not a building, not an organization, is a person, Jesus Christ, and he that hath the Son. If you don't have the Son, and so that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts people of sin, the great sin of unbelief. And then he goes on, and he says, secondly, the Holy Spirit will convict of righteousness. Of righteousness, he says, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Jesus died on the cross. He was raised from the grave. He ascended into heaven as the righteous one. So Jesus, because Jesus paid the price of sin on the cross, he ascended to the throne of God. And now before I can ascend into God's presence, I have to have perfect righteousness. And I don't have perfect righteousness. I have sinned all kinds of sins. And I'll never be able to go to heaven because of that sin. And so I come to Jesus, and I ask him to come into my heart and take away my sin. And he washes them away, and he gives me, and he clothes me in his righteousness. And when I stand before God, God isn't going to look at me and see me. He's going to see Jesus, because I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's the great, glorious thing we can talk about and preach about, is that we are made unto us righteousness. We were sinners. We are sinners. We have no hope of heaven. Whether your sins are little or big, it doesn't matter. There's no way into heaven. And then you come to Jesus, and he is our righteousness, and he is perfect. And then he goes on the third thing, he says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Because Jesus died for the sins of the world, and because he was raised in justification, Satan is a defeated foe. Satan is judged. Jesus didn't say the judgment was yet to come on Satan. He says now he's under judgment right now. His days are numbered. He's a defeated foe, and he knows it. And that's why he works so hard to discourage people and to fight against God and fight his righteousness and his church and his love and turn people away from the Lord. Those who come to Jesus are delivered from this world and its coming judgment, because this world and the worldliness and Satan are going to all be cast into the lake of fire. And it says, flee from the wrath to come. Come to Jesus. Kiss the, in Psalms it says, kiss the Son lest he be angry and you perish from the way. You take Jesus. And because Satan is all condemned and unrighteousness and sin is all condemned. It's all taken care of already. Turn to Jesus. And so God looks upon us and he says, it tells us as he sees the wickedness of man and he's got under judgment. And in Psalm 7, chapter 7 and verse 11, it says, God is angry with the wicked every day when he sees the little children suffering, when he sees them taking his name in vain and all of those things. God's anger is, he's angry with the wicked every day. Flee to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior. The Holy Spirit is here then to warn people of coming judgment and to turn them to Jesus. So we see that the Holy Spirit then will convict the sinner. And then another work of the Holy Spirit is building of the church, the true church, the invisible church, the body of Christ. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that a repentant sinner is placed in Christ's body. It's called regeneration. It's called the new birth. It's called the second birth. It's called the birth from above. Jesus called it born again. It's all the same thing, means the same thing. It simply means it's that process where God takes a poor, lost, dirty sinner in all of his sins and all of his, and then he's got a lot of works. And God says, your works like are filthy rags. Your works don't mean a thing to me. It's only after you're saved that your works count. And if you're working to get to heaven, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, and if you're going to get to heaven by works, you're never going to get there. That's what Jesus says. Wake up. It comes by grace alone, grace into receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so this process by which he takes a poor, lost, rotten sinner and he places them in the pure, precious body of Jesus Christ. And that's the body of Christ. It is the invisible church. And it's the church that has, we're going to be someday without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That process where he takes that poor old sinner and he puts him in the body of Christ, takes him out of darkness, puts him into light. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, write it down. For by one Spirit were we baptized into one body. And so this wonderful Holy Spirit takes the poor lost sinner and dead in sins and wicked as can be, and we'll never ever get rid of those sins because there's nothing we can give. We have to pay for our sins with our own soul. What shall man give in exchange for his soul? And Jesus is saying, when you lost your soul, how do you get it back? You can't get it back. It's lost. And then you go to Jesus. Beautiful Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. He says, come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And maybe, oh, maybe you're thinking of your sins and how you're going to stand before God in your sins, and you can't do it. You'll be cast away, and you come to Jesus. And listen to what he says. He tells in Peter, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all come to Jesus. And you come to Jesus and say, oh, dear Jesus, I have got all these sins, and I ask you to forgive my sins and take them away. And I'll turn from my evil ways. That's repentance. Jesus taught repentance. He told the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. And that doesn't mean she's going to be perfect, but it means she's going to strive to live like Jesus. Then you thank him for saving your soul. And so we have nothing to do with this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people are praying for it all the time. Well, that all happened when you accepted Jesus. and you're born again, and you become put in the body of Christ, and you put in the church. He's building his church. Just come to Jesus, and you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then something else, the Holy Spirit seals the believer for time and eternity. The moment we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that moment there are several things that happen. For one thing, God regenerated us. He gave us justification. He justified us. The Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit entered our hearts, and he remains in our heart until we go under the pearly gates all the way to heaven. He'll never leave us, that Holy Spirit. And he seals us so that we be of God's possession. The Holy Spirit then is a seal, and that seal comes from a Greek word meaning to confirm, to impress. And in Ephesians 1:13, we are told, having also believed, ye were sealed with him by the Holy Spirit of promise. And that means that God owns us. God, we are secure. We belong to God, and no one can ever touch us. No, the devil can't touch us. That seal, you see it in the Old Testament. Daniel's put in the lion's den, and they put that door, and they sealed it, and no man can break it because it's sealed by God. And so when we come to Jesus, and he takes him in, we take him into our heart. You know, in the New Testament, we see that when they put the seal on that rock before the tomb so you couldn't get into the tomb. And God Almighty's angel rolled it back and open it up, because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is our seal. And when we accept him, we are safe for every time and eternity. And we know that because, for instance, Paul put it like this. He says in Romans 8:38-39, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created being, says, be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so here we are. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And the old Bible scholar Matthew Henry put it like this. He summed it up and he said, by him, that is the Holy Spirit, believers are sealed. That is, they're separated. They're set apart for God and distinguished and marked as belonging to him. And when we accept Jesus Christ, he seals us, heals us with the Holy Spirit, and we are his forever. And that's a glorious thought. It is nothing that I do. It is nothing that I say. It is just God saving me because I called on the name of the Lord and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and cleanse me, and he washed away my sin and he sealed me with the Holy Spirit, and I'll never be lost. And I feel sorry for you people who think you can lose your salvation and you're scared all the time. I'm not scared at all. I don't care what I do. I belong to God. I'm sealed. I'm his child. And he won't have any of his children in hell, I can tell you. And so I can go to bed tonight and I can say, maybe I said a bad word. Maybe I had a bad thought. Maybe I was jealous of somebody. There's so many ways to sin you and drive you crazy. And I said, Jesus, that precious blood washed it all away. And then Jesus said, yes, that's all washed away. What are you fussing about? And then he tells us in Hebrews, your iniquities, they are far from the east, from the west. And then your sins, he says, I will remember no more. They're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Without the washing of blood, cleansing of blood, there is no cleansing. That precious blood of Jesus, that's the way. And it takes it all away. And your sins, they're scarlet. They're just terrible. And then Jesus washes it away, and I'm all clean and I'm all pure, and I can enter heaven. I can go to heaven. I am his. I belong to him. I'm not holding on to Jesus. Jesus is holding on to me. I hold him in my hand, he said. I'll hold you. You'll never be lost. Oh, God, I love you. And you need to love Jesus. And you say, what do I have to do? You have to do this. You have to tell Jesus you're a sinner. And you have to tell him you're going to turn from all the sins the best you can. You'll never be perfect. And then you ask him to come into your heart, take away your sins, and then you thank him, and then you rejoice. Now, if you do that, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, here's our address. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, and 57402. If you want the film on the shepherd, you send us a gift if you can. If you're in prison, you can't send it, just write to us, you get it free. And if you want to have the little Bible study, the new song, write that down. And remember this, we have to have your help. The only help we get financially is from God's people. And so we're putting it in your lap and you're putting it, giving it to you. Now I want to give the address again. This is for the people on shortwave radio. They don't have a screen to look at. Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes of people that are coming to you right now, all over the world. Oh, bless your name. And dear Jesus, I'm praying for those on beds of sickness today. I'm praying for the shut-ins and the aged. I'm praying for the persecuted church in Myanmar, our brothers and sisters there, that you'll bless and help them and help them to know we think of them. Bless the little children that are watching us. Help them to pray that little prayer in their own little way. And Jesus will tell you he loves the children and they can come to him. Oh, God, have move and have your way in every heart and life. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are again, Christian Worship Hour. And we also have you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com and you can get all kinds of information from us. So we're just so glad that we can preach the gospel. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for your prayers. We pray that God will just bless you and encourage you. And if you're a little down, a little bit or something, just know you're sealed. You belong to Jesus. Everything is going to be all right. One bright, sunny day, we're going to be in glory. We're going to see all the glory of God and of heaven. And that can come any moment, any time. But you have to have Jesus. So just trust him. Then get word to us. And in the meantime, we'll be preparing to preach some more. Next week, we're going to talk about the Bible, the Holy Word of God. So tell your friends and tune us in. And then so then remember that God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. I know I love you. And we're just going to love each other until we meet together in glory. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.